And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
What's up, Warriors fans? It's kind of a special edition, not necessarily a Warriors Plus Minus podcast, not necessarily a Warriors All 82 podcast. Warriors last night did lose to the Clippers. They're now 4-4 this season, and it's kind of topsy-turvy early season. But in the off day in between, we are going to post an interview I did with James Wiseman and his college coach and basketball mentor, I would say, Penny Hardaway, for kind of a denser look at their relationship in the early Wiseman days and the future ahead for Wiseman. I'd go to our website. The story is posted there. I talked to Wiseman, Hardaway, his trainer, some other people around the Warriors, and just kind of give a fuller look at just kind of where everything is with him and a lot about, James's background too. But Warriors fans really haven't heard his voice much. He's such a new figure, even though he's emerging as such an important figure for the future of this franchise. He's new, and they know the Steph Curry voice and obviously the Draymond Green voice, even the Clay personality, Steve Kerr, all that. But Wiseman's new, and he has some personality to him as a teenager. He's already, I think, a pretty good quote and really kind of an honest interview, which I think will come through some in this clip of the interview I'm about to play. And then Penny Hardaway, look, just a figure that's known for NBA fans for three decades and an important figure in James Wiseman's life. So here is, I think this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to play the Penny Hardaway interview first, probably about 8, 9, 10 minutes or so, because that's who I talked to first. I talked to Penny, and you can even hear when I'm talking to James that I brought some of the stuff I learned from Penny to James. So I just, sequencing wise, it makes sense to go Penny first, then James Wiseman. So here you go. This is Penny Hardaway. Have you watched a lot of his kind of first four games?
I watched every game, and I've talked to him after every game.
What have the lessons you've been trying to impart on him after these games?
Well, I just told him his energy needs to always be hot. He doesn't need to have low energy. I've seen low energy a couple times. He needs to keep his motor high. No, he's been doing really well. That's what I told the person that I was proud of him. But for us, we have certain standards between me and him where we want him to stay. And his level has gone down some games energy-wise. And he's admitted to that, where he's jogging more than actually sprinting. And the other thing is rim protector. The Golden State Warriors are desperately needing a rim protector. Anytime somebody goes to the rim, you got to go rim protect. And we talked about that. Because I've seen him allow guys to go lay the ball up where he should have been athletic and came weak side and blocked it. Everything else, he's been doing really well. I told him to understand his personnel, to always watch film and understand who he's playing against the night before, and be well prepared on what's going on and don't be shocked by anything. And he's absorbed all of that and taken all that, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Chicago game, he was a little bit lower energy. I know LaVine had a couple shots at the rim that he probably could have got over on.
Yes.
Yeah. But the one thing I know, talking to all the Warriors coaches behind the scenes, it's even though it is going to be a steep learning curve for him, 19, obviously a lack of experience, he's very willing to learn. You seem like the best person to talk to about this because you're probably his number one basketball teacher, really. What have you seen from him in his life about just this kind of, there's a love of the game that sometimes people question in big man that seems to be there?
Yeah, well, he wants to be great. He hadn't always had that fame. James, when he was in 9th grade, 10th grade, even coming to us out there 10th grade year, he was known, but he wasn't the top player in the country. When he came to Memphis East, he came to a very tough inner city school where guys were really rough, really physical, and that really helped bring the shyness out of him. And when once that happened, they kind of brought out that animal that he's always needed to have when it's time to compete. If you understand what I'm saying, he gained that there and got that mean streak. And once he got that mean streak, man, he always wanted to be the best. now he had the mean streak to kind of carry him through the rough times. He still gonna have some tough days because he wants to be perfect, and he knows he can't be. And when he can't be, it'll frustrate him. But yeah, that's where he got that from, man.
What lessons over time or different examples could you maybe give of trying to pull that out of him? Because that is almost, like you said, because he's so nice off the court that
yes.
It's almost Draymond Green's job to kind of bring that out of him, I think, in the NBA. But what are lessons over time you've seen of him starting to get that mean streak? Are you guys trying to bring it out of him?
Well, our team was really mean. Our team was really physical. We used to, like, double team him every time he got the ball. Knock him to the ground, wouldn't help him up. Every time he did a non-aggressive move, fading away from contact and all that, we'd call him out on it. Tell him you got to be tougher. You got to be meaner. You got to finish around the rim like you really mean it. And it just got to him to where he just took the challenge and was like, you know what? I get what you guys are saying now. And the light bulb went off one day. And then ever since then, the same guys that used to knock him down, he wouldn't allow him to knock him down anymore. When he did get knocked down on the ground, he got back up and then did the same thing over again. He didn't shy away from it. So you can start seeing that at that point.
Is he the most athletic person? I mean, like, obviously he played with young Shaq, but just his pure athletic gifts, like, do you compare him to anybody?
Nah, he's in a box on his own. That he's gifted. That's why he's a unicorn. His athleticism is unmatched amongst, like, the guys that I've coached.
Does he remind you at all of young Shaq?
No. He doesn't have the meanness that Shaq has all the time. Shaq played with a chip. Shaq always had a plan. And Shaq always knew he was the best. You know what I mean? He always mm-hmm. knew he was the best. James had to come from nothing to something. And he carries that chip now. But Shaq has always been chosen one. Even though James is, Shaq has had a different path. He had a military-based stepfather. And that military background helped Shaq. He helped Shaq kind of be tougher. James was raised with women. You know, he had his mom and his sister. So even though they kind of babied him and spoiled him, but was firm. You know, it wasn't the same. But
I talked to some of his Miami trainers, you know, after he left you guys at Memphis. He went down there and he's doing track workouts with, like, NFL linebackers and stuff like that. What's some of the most athletic things you've ever seen him do? Because they were just stunned down there at some of the stuff he can do.
Yeah, no, coming from the free throw line, man, just taking off with one hand with the Statue of Liberty Dr. J dunk from the free throw line, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Somebody 7 foot to just be doing that effortlessly. I mean, we understand Giannis. Giannis does it, but when James Wiseman is doing that, you know, that's crazy. He's more like a bigger Chris Bosh because he weighs more, but he has that type of ability and skill set. And if we can even scratch the surface of what Chris did, and Golden State Warriors would be very satisfied and happy.
Yeah, he's like 5 of 6 from three early in his career. I mean, I know the skill level's there, and I know you know that, but has the ease with which he's hitting threes, like, right away surprised you at all?
No, because we started changing his shot his junior year in high school. His senior year, he worked on it, and then his freshman year, he worked on it every day. He used to have the ball behind his head, and now he has it in front of him, and he worked on that a lot down in Miami. I told him, that's one thing that you're going to have to improve on is your 3-point shooting. He's always shot threes, and now he's more consistent.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite James Wiseman story? If people ask you about the worker he is or the person he is, do you have a favorite story?
My favorite story is the first practice where he left the practice crying.
And this is the high school one?
I don't care about you crying. You know, you're still going to have to do what I'm asking you to do. And then his mother was on my side, so he didn't have anywhere to run to.
Yeah. This would have been high school practice? Yes. Like ninth grade, you said?
Yeah, he was like, this is hard, because he had come from a very well-known private school called Innsworth. Innsworth is, it looks like Princeton, University of Princeton's campus, Princeton University's campus. It's beautiful. And he came to an inner-city school, and there was no baby in, nobody babied him. And those are the stories I love about it, because he had to grow up quickly.
Do you remember what he was crying about, maybe just like having a run or maybe
physicality,
some...
Physicality.
Yeah, the physicality.
Being told that he wasn't doing something properly, you know, having to do stuff over that he did. If he didn't do it hard enough, we made him repeat it. No, I never went over there after we got done with practice. I just let him have his space, man. And
yeah.
His mom would come back and tell me he came home trying to complain. I told him nope.
What have you seen in the year since he's played, really? You know, it really seemed like his game grew, you know, in the year away.
Yeah, I have to give credit to that Miami Hoop group down there. a bunch of guys that really worked with him on his guard skills, with his triple threat game, with his, you know, his ball handling and things of that nature, because James is really a big man with guard skills. So they really brought the rest of that out while they were down there for those months. Those guys really helped him a lot and really worked with his, on his jump shot.
Did you see the coast-to-coast last night?
I did, but that's what we're used to. We're used to seeing that.
Did you send him a text after the game on that one?
I haven't watched the game yet. I started watching it this morning, and I told him I was going to call him with a report. That's what I'm used to seeing James do that.
Yeah.
That's him.
Sure. You're going to like it the second half he played defensively last night. You know, it was a struggle in the first half, but he was good defensively in the second half.
I saw the first. He tried to go block, what's the kid's name? He went for a layup, and James got his first foul on the kid that was with the Grizzlies last year.
Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson. So they let me know that he came the first time to relieve, and I could tell he was more alert on coming for block shots. Even the first jump shot that Chicago took, he contested it way better than he's contested any shot all year. So he understood, and he told me, "Coach, I got you. And I don't want to tell. I know I'm not going to say anything against what Coach Kerr wants. I'm sure Coach Kerr wants him to be alert defensively because that's why they got him. And I'm only going to push what they want. And me and Coach Kerr will stay in touch maybe once a month just to talk about him and talk about, you know, what he needs me to help him with James and vice versa. It's a group effort, man, to try to get him to be better and to help those guys win.
Is there any examples you can give me on just his studying of the game? And, you know, because I know a lot of young players really struggle with that aspect of, like, actually viewing the game as a job. You know, hey.
So I gave him assignments when he was in high school. You had to go watch David Robinson. Come back and tell me what you saw about David Robinson on YouTube. Go watch Shaq. Go watch the Dream Olajuwon. Go watch Chris Bosh. Go watch Kevin Garnett. And he had to do all of those. Go watch Bill Russell. Watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And give me reports on what you saw and how great were they. What were their, you know, what made them do what they do and how did they do it and how did they run when they rim ran? How did they set screens? How did they move? So he's always been a studier because I used to challenge him on that.
Would he bring you like a page document or like how did that work?
No. Just conversation.
Yeah, okay.
Conversation on what he saw. I just wanted to know. He's like, "Coach, man, they were good." I said, "Exactly. They were good because they had it on their mind. It was constantly on their mind to be great. And not just offensively." I told him, "You're not going to get the ball as much as you did in high school. You got to go out there and be the best defensive player in the country." That's what I told him. I said, "Be the defensive player of the year this year and let your offense come to you."
How steep a growth curve do you think he has in the NBA defensively? Because, like,
man.
With
Dre, and I also told him to go get with Dre every day. Tell Dre to help him understand what he really, relate to Dre, how he feels, and what he's trying to do, and Dre will take it from there. But his ceiling is defensive player of the year caliber.
Okay, that seems like a pretty good place to kind of cut off the Penny Hardaway interview, shift the podcast over to the James Wiseman interview. This interview was done between the Portland games that happened earlier in the week, where Wiseman had a bad game, one against the Blazers, really during this off day, and I'm actually talking to him in the middle of this off day, studied Portland, kind of figured out some things, guarded the pick and roll, and just played much better in that second game. And it was encouraging to the Warriors coaches, the way he adjusted and the way he seems to be learning on the fly, getting better from first halves to second halves, listening. Draymond Green, and, you know, it's up in the story that I wrote on The Athletic. And again, if you really kind of want to dive into the subject, the story is much more in detail than this podcast can be. But there is a Draymond Green soundbite within that talking about what he taught in between games to Wiseman. And it was a really detailed, interesting quote that it's eye-opening. Like, oh yeah, this guy is going to be in Draymond Green defensive school for the next however long, half decade, maybe longer. Who knows? Maybe Draymond sticks around the organization long-term. But he just a central force in his early defensive development, which clearly Penny Hardaway has told Wiseman to embrace. So anyway, here is an interview with James Wiseman. Could you actually take me back to when Penny brought you to Memphis, not the college, but for high school? What do you remember about those first practices, your first experience there?
Just the grit, the grind, just being competitive every day, playing hard, playing smart, playing together.
Yeah.
Having to build that chemistry because I was a beginner coming into that team. I was because I came from a private school going to a public school, so it was way different in terms of atmosphere, but I just had to just keep learning, keep adapting, just like I am now in the NBA. and just keep learning. So Penny is a great coach. He's a great guy. He also taught me a lot just like about the game, how to approach it. So just all that stuff plays a role.
Yeah, he said like your campus at private school, he's like, it was looked like Princeton.
Yeah. No, really, it did.
Was it like designed off Princeton's campus, basically?
No, it was most definitely designed off a college campus. That's facts.
Yeah. And he said those early days were kind of about introducing you to the physicality, like you said, kind of the grit. How tough an adjustment was that early on? He said it seemed like, you know, early on their lessons with you were, kind of beat you up in practice and don't let you make excuses, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they used to beat me up in practice a lot. But I just had to, I already had the mental toughness, but it just, like, increased that just even more. Mm-hmm. Especially playing in, like, a public school league, because, like, you know, everybody is aggressive, everybody is very competitive. So that really just, like, growing me to the player that I am today. Made me really, like just tough mentally, physically, emotionally. So,
Do you remember a specific instance, specific practice where they really kind of did it and, like, you didn't handle it well in the moment, but you kind of grew from it?
I mean, I've always been a person to where, like, I'm never, like, fazed by anything. So, it really didn't faze me because I knew what they was trying to do.
Yeah.
So, like, it didn't faze me at all, but I just kept going every day, just had that perseverance and that determination to just keep going. So, yeah.
How much is he on you? Does he remain on you about, you know, being physical in the paint? Don't shy away from contact. You know, use your strength and in your body to kind of, you know, beat guys up in the interior.
Yeah, I mean, being physical is really just like my prowess for my size and just using my physical frame. So, like, sometimes before I went to Memphis East, I used to shy away from contact a lot. But, like, when I got to Memphis East High School, like, I just started getting more comfortable with that. And I found myself way more present in different type of plays. Like, I got way more buckets because I was physical, you know? So, just make sure that I be physical, like, at all times. And, like, that's one of, like, my main components of my game anyway, so.
Is it tough sometimes, though, because you have the skill level, too, you know, where it's, like, you have the ability to hit a 12-foot fadeaway. You have the ability to hit the jump shot. So sometimes you almost kind of want to show that off. Is it tough to balance, you know, wanting to show that physicality and also potentially avoiding foul trouble and all that?
That's actually a great question because that's, like, what I have trouble doing because, like, I know I can, like, I'm capable of a knockdown shot, but I'm super, super, super effective when I – go to the basket because I'm either gonna make an N1 dunk or I can probably get a foul, which that's gonna most likely happen. So really I try to balance it out, and now since I'm on like the professional level, the NBA level, it's like kind of more difficult, but like as I start to fill it out and like balance my game out and just like be more aggressive, which I've been just being more aggressive my past four games, I feel like I've been doing pretty well. Then, I mean, my game's gonna grow from there, so just trying to balance that out.
Yeah. Do you try to tell yourself, don't fall in love with the jumper, even if I hit a couple in a row? Do you have to?
Yeah, most definitely not. Because, like, even though I'm capable of making that shot, like, it's way more points to be made if I just go hard to the basket because they either go foul me or I can get an N1. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, obviously the situation at Memphis happens, and you go to Miami to train. What do you remember about that? I talked to David Alexander, who really, like, you were doing, like, track workouts with NFL guys and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was fun. It's like, show, like, the tenacious of, like, a professional athlete, if that makes sense. Like, just super tenacious. They just ready to get after every day because, like, it's a job now. So, like, it's like you have to have that high productivity to just perform every day. And just to, like, always perform at your highest peak. So, just really just shows that, like, having that tenacity for your work ethic and just working hard every day shows it's very effective. So,
what were the track workouts like with the NFL guys?
It was fun. Like, we were just getting after it. We was actually competing with each other. And, like, it was just fun because it was pre-draft process. And, I had fun with mine. Like, even though it was super long, I had fun. I experienced a lot of stuff outside of basketball. Like, I went to the beach. I went for a walk in Miami because Miami is freaking beautiful. So, yeah, I was just down there just living. But, when it came to, like, training, I took it seriously. like super.
Yeah. Serious. Yeah, he said that you're like kind of keeping up with these, you know, we're talking Corey Clement, you know, NFL running backs, linebackers, Bruce Irvin. Did you surprise yourself with, I mean, maybe you didn't, but like with the way you were keeping up with some of these really grown men?
Nah, because I'm super agile for my size, and I kind of do surprise myself a little bit from here and there, but as I'm starting to know myself, like, I know that I'm capable of doing that, and I'd be, like, surprising a lot of people because they'd be like, how is he 7'1", he can move like that, but I don't know, I think it's just God just blessed me with that gift, and I'm just blessed to have it, yeah. So.
Was there a specific workout down there, like, that you can remember surprising somebody or doing something that even maybe surprised yourself?
I think it was, like, on a Versa Climber, and we had to reach, like, 500 feet or something like that. Or, like, we had to reach, like, 500, so, like, I went super fast. And I think it was, like, probably, like, 100 or it was 250, I don't remember, but it was, like, under, like, you gotta make it under, like, a 1 minute, 30 seconds, or I think, like, a minute. And, like, I made it, like, under that, so, because I was going super fast. But that just shows, like, my work ethic, me wanting to be great, and me just wanting to push myself. So, I pushed myself to the fucking limit.
Do you remember any of the guys saying anything to you? Like, maybe, like, a Bruce Irvin or somebody being like, dude, whoa, man. Like, you're a 19-year-old, you know, NBA center?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because, like, due to me being, like, young and stuff and actually being in this moment is truly a blessing, but being in this moment is also simultaneously, it's a lot of stuff that I have to pick up on, if that makes sense. Like, you're 19 coming to the league, you playing against 25, 26-year-olds that's already been playing the league for 7 years. Like, that's, like, it's way different. So, but, like, it's a blessing to just even start. So, I'm just trying to take, just, like, really just take advantage of that. So,
I got two questions on the Miami stuff remaining. What'd you learn about your diet down there? He seemed to think you really came in and were, like, asking a bunch of questions about diet and kind of, like, really changed your diet over the last year, right?
Yeah. Really, like, whatever you consume, you become that, if that makes sense. So, if you eat junk food, then, like, it'll show because, like, you just won't have energy. So, I just try to, like, if I'm going to have a cheat day, do it, like, in moderation. But really just eat the right stuff so, like, my body can be intact and everything, so I can have self-recovery quicker and that I can really just, like, perform at my highest peak. So I try to make sure I eat right and just, like, don't eat too much, like of junk. Even though I got high metabolism and I'm still 19, I could do that, but I choose not to, so I can just, like, have, like, an early development in terms of the diet part.
What did you cut out and what did you really start to like to eat that's health-wise?
All right, so back then I used to eat pork a lot, man. You know, that pork barbecue is so delicious.
Memphis, too.
Memphis, right? Yeah. Right, Memphis. But I had to cut that out because, like, I was sluggish, man. I was too sluggish, so I had to cut that out. I eat, like, free-range chicken or something like that, or probably, like, some turkey or just, like, some meat that's, like, very lean, like some veggies and some fruit and stuff like that, just stuff. Great stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
what'd you learn about posture when you were down there? He talked about, you know, some big guys like to, you know, hunch over at times and stuff like that. It seems like he said they got you really kind of, you know, standing tall now.
Yeah, I got a huge torso. You know, being 7'1", I got a huge torso. So it's most definitely hard to, like, try to sit up straight. So, like, I ain't gonna lie, sometimes I catch myself doing that, but I just readjust and just make sure I keep my torso straight and just upright. So,
early NBA lessons. Penny was saying he's texting you a lot after different games. What do you, maybe one or two, three things that you feel like you've already learned through five games?
Man, these players are fucking smart. Sorry for my language.
Dude, you say what you want. The Athletic lets cuss words go, so you're all good.
These players are fucking smart because they're vets. They played in the league for 8 years. So, like, I'm a perfectionist. So, like, if I feel like I had a bad game or something, I get really down. So, like, really, my teammates just, like, pick me back up. Because I just be too hard on myself sometimes. That's because I want to be the best I can be. So, just, like, the intelligence of the basketball players, because, like, they vets. Sometimes, like, y'all don't see it in the game, but, like, in the rebounds, they be hooking me and stuff like that. But that's, like, tricks. Like, other than that, just the physicality of it. Because, like, you playing against grown men. So, most definitely the physicality and just, like, the, I say, the strategic of the game. Like, the players are very strategic and they're very smart. So, yeah, most definitely.
What's the smartest thing you've seen done that on an NBA court that, like, you know, when you're playing pickup, you've never seen something like that, but now that it's, like, really, like, professional stuff?
Basically, like, last night when I guarded Dame, he came off the screen, and then I was going full speed because I was trying to block a shot, and then he stopped, like, right in front of my tracks and then drew a foul, and I was like, how the hell?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's just little stuff like that. Like, I was going super fast, and he was already in front of me, and he just stopped and got the foul. Like, that's crazy. It's just, like, little stuff like that. It just, like, tells you, like, it just, like, it's more than just, man, it's, like, it's the smaller details inside the game that just makes everything better, that makes players better, and, like, it's, like, the simple details and fundamentals.
Yeah, are you having to, you know, you've struggled with some foul trouble in the last few games, but I know part of there, you know, there's a need to be more physical. How are you trying to balance that, and how tough has that been?
Yeah, that's another part of me being frustrated, because, like, I feel like I could play more if I just stay out of foul trouble early, because the last three games I was in foul trouble. The first two games I played really well, but the last three games was like kind of like a learning curve because I was getting in foul trouble too early. So I feel like once I just start, just become more aware and become more knowledgeable of that, which I am, and, like, that just takes, like, experience and repetition, then I'll be fine. But I'm not even tripping about that. I'm just, just trying to get better every day and just ask questions, so.
On the different things they're working with you, I know they're using, like, weighted ball, and they're throwing, like, fastball passes at you to, you know, because, I mean, that's part of the league, right? I don't know. You caught one of them from Steph last night that was, like, a very tight window, like, fastball, essentially. What kind of stuff are you working on behind the scenes with those two on stuff like that?
Just really just high ball screens, just DHOs, different types of offensive schemes that I can get my buckets on. But in terms of that, just doing, like, a lot of multiple actions, DHOs, just trying to figure out, like, just trying to preview the reads. So, like, in the game, I know, like, how to read this play, how to read that play, like, how to go for the slip or how to fade out, and just, like, different stuff like that. So, just really the reads, the offensive schemes of the game, and just really just the defensive part. We do, like, a lot of verticality drills, and so just trying to become more knowledgeable of that.
How about that catch in the weighted ball and the idea of, you know, catches off the rim on rebounds and those tight window passes and having to do all that while, you know, you mentioned that the strategy of the game, having to think the NBA game while also, hey, oh, there's a fastball coming at me here. What's your adjustment been like to that?
And that's the same. I mean, that was a great question as well. Like, just, like, having to think the game, but also, like, it's just going full speed. Like, it's crazy. But I'm only 19 years old, and I'm going to learn all this stuff. It's already picking up super fast, so I'm going to get it real soon.
Yeah.
And everything is going to be good. I just got to keep my head up and just, like, even if, like, I feel like I'm not playing as well, like, it's still a lot more games ahead. So, and this is a long journey, so I'm just trying to just get better, just be the best I can be and just keep learning. So that's something I can do.
Your favorite play that you've made so far, and then the play that still frustrates you today that you didn't make so far through, what, five games?
The play that frustrates me is last night when I faced up on Harry Giles and then I took that hook shot. I could have just went through his shoulder and dunked that. Mm-hmm. But I watch film and, like, I see, like, different type of seams I can get. Or I could do, like, a multiple action, let Steph and Dre do split cuts, and I could have hit him for a pass. And, like, just a lot of different actions that I'm learning from. And, like, the best play I did was versus Detroit when I got the block, and then I took it all the way down the court, coast to coast, and did the Euro step deducted. That was, like, one of the best highlights.
Yeah.
And the other one was, like, the snatch block against Milwaukee, too. That was a that was sick. That was crazy.
On the Detroit play, did you – I mean, you know you can do that. You've done it, I'm sure, hundreds of times. But doing it on an NBA court, like, when you dunked that, were you like, ooh, okay, I can do that on an NBA court?
I ain't gonna lie. That was super fun. Like, when I did that, that was fun. And, like, when I dunked it, yeah, just like what you said, I was like, oh, shit, I can do this on an NBA court. So I'm good now.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm good. I'm good. But, yeah, that was dope, though. Like, I just, man, got the block, ran down a Corey pass to me. That I just went coast to coast and did the Euro step. All that stuff I just been doing like for a while. I just never was like able to show it.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.